Bust a quick one.
After the hour of 11 in this, the month of September, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live, my friends. Live from the plushly appointed, getting out of the ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, speaking to you through the Electro Voice RE20, the finest vocal transducer known to man. This is the Rick Emerson Show. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming along. It's Wednesday. Welcome to day 12. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You want to engage with us electronically, you can do that as well. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Oh, by the way, in case you were interested in going to the private Everclear listening party yesterday, there were apparently, quote, lots and lots of tickets available. Oh. That's unfortunate. Thank you. All right, it's 503-733-2970, or email-wise, it is rick@rickemerson.com. Who watched Katie Couric last night?
Yeah. And I watched Storm. Both in one night.
It's too much excitement for one man to handle. I think it's best summed up by, as are all things in this world, best summed up by the New York Post.
You look like she needed to go potty.
She looked like a little girl who had to go to the potty. Says Andrea Pazer of the New York Post.
Well, I think they said it just because she crossed her legs.
The best, here's another thing, and even I know this, by the way. Here's a little tip from Rick to you, a little bit of fashion advice. If you're going on television and you're going to be under blazingly white lights, do not also wear a bright white outfit. Just, you know, word to the wise. That's the thing that most of us learn on picture day in sixth grade. When you're the guy who shows up with a white shirt and that is a ghostly floating head in the yearbook. That's what Katie Couric was last night. A ghostly floating Botoxed head with oddly shaped eyebrows. Just the opening sentence here of the New York Post says it all. And then we'll read more of this later. Katie Couric last night, writes Andrea Pizer, underwent her second on-air colonoscopy. Really, where is there to go after that? We'll come back and talk about it more. It's 503-733-2970. You can email. It is rick@rickemerson.com. Much to get to today. Oh, let me pause to take a hearty swig of my Viso. Which is, again, the will. It's so awkward to be drinking something at which the flavor is labeled Will, when I know Will is a sort of vaguely frumpy and disheveled engineer who works across the hall and looks at a lot of Nazi imagery on his computer. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. All right, we are here. We are ready to begin. Today's entertainment is only we can do it. Let me welcome out of the room.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Good God. So loud. Oh, damn. Sometimes I can't tell whether those are really loud or whether my ears are just really malfunctioning on any given day. It's kind of like, have you ever been really hungover or really sick?
No.
And it's formaldehyde. But some of us, I'm not pointing any fingers, but some of us may have had that sensation of, I don't know, maybe you're drinking late at Angelo's one night and you have 1 or 10 too many beers, and then it's like you're trying to sleep. Have you ever done this? Let me just ask you this, and then I swear to God we'll bring on Chris, because I don't get behind. Whatever would we do if we were to get behind?
Did you play a sounder and then put him back on hold?
I didn't even pick him up. That's how I roll. I played a sounder and I just left him there in queue. They don't call it in queue anymore. It's not even on hold. They call it... I was in a meeting about some exciting new phone technology the other day. It really was kind of exciting. I know I'm not painting it as being such. They don't call it being on hold anymore. There was some... You know, it's like we passed this point of demarcation in about 1997 when everything... They were, nothing was a business any longer. Everything was a solution. What do? I provide telephony solutions. I don't even really know what that means, but that's what everybody does. It's no longer in hold. The calls are now, I believe they're banked or parked or something. They're not on hold. Nobody gets put on hold. It's like nobody gets fired anymore. The downsizing, nobody gets put on hold. I believe that phone calls are now parked. That's what, there's some company that's offering to park our calls for us. So Scotty J can be completely and then totally irrelevant at that point. No, so I haven't even picked him up, but I am going to say this. Have you ever had that thing where it's like you one too many belts of booze the night before, or you got a head cold, you got something going on, and you're laying there on the pillow, and it's some tiny noise. Sometimes, first of all, you get that thing like a seashell sometimes where you can hear your heart beating within your own ear, and you can actually hear the sound of the blood rushing through the capillaries in your ear as your ear is pressed to the pillow, and the whole thing, the whole pillow, the whole your ear, your head, the blanket for that matter, it all becomes one gigantic system of amplification, and every heartbeat just thunders inside your own head. Or you will have that thing where you're laying on the pillow, and as you blink or as you move around, your eyelashes or something are scraping against the pillow, and it's just the loudest, most untenable noise you've ever heard in your life. It's like the sound of the dandruff from the person next to you hitting the pillow is just deafening. I'm just saying. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend, official stenographer of the Rick Emerson program, Mailman Chris. How are you, sir?
I am good.
All right. Hey, by the way, Chris has got his own entourage. Not an entourage so much as you have fans, you have peeps.
I have peeps.
We were at Dante's last night watching Rockstar Supernova, which we'll talk about here in just a short while. And we were kind of at the end of the program. We were just sort of, you know, working in the room, just sort of circling around, saying hey, talking to people. And there was this blonde girl, Jen, who was there. And I'm talking, I'm using all my A material, trying to be all charming, trying to be all, hello, my name is Rick Emerson. And she just looks right past me. Is that guy Chris? And I said, what guy, baby? There's no Chris. I'm Rick Emerson. She's just, is he the mailman? I'd like to talk to him. So they were, she and her friend were there, and all they wanted to do was meet you, sir.
I'm just lucky that Boba Fett and the next
man. Oh, Boba Fett is the friend, the other Chris, who everybody knows as showing up as Boba Fett to that one Halloween party. Boba Fett was there with his scorchingly hot date for the night. He's, you know what he is? You know who that guy is, Chris Boba Fett? He is that guy from the Game Geeks commercial. You know who I'm talking. I was at Game Geeks throwing around pewter action figures and drinking a soda, and I met this hot blonde girl who loves gamers. He, and people hear that commercial like, ah, yeah, he is that guy. He's the guy from the Game Geeks commercial who he's like, I made my own Boba Fett costume in my basement. Would you like to see it? And then the girl's like, yes, I would love to see it. He is both the guy from the Game Geeks ad and from the superhero stuff ad.
Who, Chris?
Chris, Boba Fett Chris.
Yeah.
Where it's like he looks so sad today. You're just sort of hunched forward on your elbows, sort of fighting off collapse. All right. Well, in any event, here's the things we're going to be getting to today. We got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop is going to be joining us. Lisa Goddard will be joining us from the Hill, as she often does. And we have, what watches have we today, Tim Riley?
That's a good question. Thank you for asking.
Do you know the answer to this question?
I'm a little disheveled today due to my work area being taken over by somebody else. We have a clergy watch and a grave watch.
So there you go. Clergy watch. By the way, today's grave watch is both hilarious and incredibly disturbing. And you know why? It's because of the happiest two syllables in the English language, mugshots. And they're just, really, these are the kind of mugshots that will keep you awake at night, hearing in your head only the sound of a shovel scraping against metal. So we'll have that later on. Grave watch. Let's see. What else? These are some other things we're going to do. Well, we will have the Rockstar recap today. We will talk again endlessly about Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, because apparently there's some law that's been passed that requires us to do that all week. I'll talk a little bit about Katie Couric last night. And we will unveil today. We will unveil today the entries in the Delana Sweet Sweet Tears Equal Your Material Gain contest. And I believe I'm looking now because the entries are now closed. We are no longer accepting entries. We have, how many entries did we, the final entries did we get? Let me look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like 15, one of which is Scotty J's. He just couldn't help himself. So Scotty J has created one. And we'll. I'm just. I'm not going to identify any of the Delana entries as far as who they come from right now because I don't want to bias the audience or prejudice because some of them are from, you know, the people who might be known to the audience in some fashion, listeners who attain some degree of status on the show. Some of them are just from, as my mom would say, just plain folks. And one of them is from Scotty J. And I'm just going to read the title now. It is entitled Scotty J Presents. He actually titled it that way, by the way. Scotty J Presents Brokeback Delana. So that when you hear that one, that's Scotty J's. We'll play that later on. We'll play all of those, and then we will ascertain a winner by the end of the program.
It was fun to pander to Scotty J's homophobia last night when Byron Beck was standing right next to me.
Oh, Byron Beck from the line right there.
Yeah, and when you lost, and him and his... Oh, I love his boyfriend so much. He's so nice.
Was his boyfriend there?
I kept trying to get Byron to give Scotty a hug.
Well, see, Byron doesn't really need any prodding to hug anybody at all. It doesn't matter. Male, female, a chair, a plant, doesn't matter. It's Byron, go hug that thing over there. All right. And he just sort of... just sort of floats over and does it. He really is fun to have around. Just because you never know when a guy like Scotty J is going to need to be hugged and groped mercilessly. You know what I mean? And Byron is a man who will do it with zeal and gusto.
Well, I'm not the only one that's hungover today. I guess Scotty J stayed out till like 1:30 drinking.
But Mrs. J wasn't there.
I know. He was at Dante's out drinking late.
I wonder,
crazy boy.
Who was he drinking with? Was Scotty, were you just... He was just
sitting
in a corner. Just sitting in a corner. He's typing on the screen. He was drinking with his peeps. He was...
When I left, he was sitting alone.
He was just sitting at the end of the bar asking the bartender to play One for the Road by Frank Sinatra over and over and over again while putting down one shot of Jack Daniels after another.
I love Scotty J. For a 40-year-old intern, he's a wild child. He stays up to like 1 o'clock and he still gets up.
And then he drives all the way back to the suburbs.
Yep. No, he took a cab.
Real? From where?
From Dante's.
To where?
To, I don't know, he said Beaverton.
Yikes, that's like a $50 ride.
To Beaverton? That's impossible. All right,
No, they will drive to Beaverton.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chris, I forgot you were there.
Okay.
All right, have you got all of that, sir?
I do. I have Jim Roop, Lisa Goddard, a clergy watch, a grave watch, Steve Irwin news or stories or whatever.
We're just gonna roll around in his death for another day or so because it's, you know, what are you gonna do? It's what the people care about.
Katie Couric, the Delana contest, and then the rest of the show will be Rockstar.
I don't know that I'm prepared to go that far, but we will be talking a lot about Rockstar, and I'm not swearing to this, but I do believe Jen Lane will be here today. That is the plan, anyway. So, all right.
Since when has she not shown up?
But the thing is, as soon as I say it, then she's going to screw me. No, then her car will explode. Something will happen. I'm just saying. So,
if all the calls are now parked and not on hold, does that make Scotty J a valet?
Yes, it does.
A concierge.
Ooh, and monsieur care for a meatball. All right. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you three.
All right. There you go. That's Chris was the ladies were all. Mrs. Chris. I'm sure Mrs. Chris. You can't hold a candle to that woman. But I'm just saying that Chris did have some lovely ladies who wanted to meet him last night. And they were normal. They were normal women with their sight and everything. And then they were all like, where's the uniform? And they were all upset that he wasn't wearing the mail carrier's uniform. Because apparently chicks dig that or something. Do they? Do chicks dig a mail carrier uniform?
I did for a while there.
Well, you dug the man. You dug the man, baby, not the uniform. Or both. I mean, maybe... Because you think there's some... I don't want to get the whole thing about uniforms here, but you always hear how chicks dig a uniform, but I always just assume that's either military or firefighter.
Oh, yeah, see, and...
Like
if,
a UPS
if you grew up
uniform.
But if you grew up in, like, small, creepy Navy towns like I did, I enjoy a man in uniform.
Because you're just...
Yeah, because I just remember, like, me being, like, 12 and, like, a whole bunch of 25-year-old men trying to hit on me.
I serve my country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys clutching a brown paper sack and headed for the free clinic. All right. Okay, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Castillo. How you doing?
I am good.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you were there when I left last night. Usually you take off pretty soon.
I know. Well, thank God they didn't have the music start till 10:30. I could hang out a little bit longer.
It is true.
Because they always drive me out because it's deafening.
That's the thing. And don't get us wrong. We love The Rock and so forth. But thank God they did this thing. We love Dante's. We usually say that right off. And we're going to be there tonight. Dante's, they're showing... It's all tonight. It's all.
I can't go tonight.
Why? What's
because I have a soapbox. I've got to get it done.
I thought you were done.
No, we still have some stuff. I guess some of the painting went awry. So I have to
Well, I know Dante. Well, Dante's just screening Rockstar, the elimination show tonight. So I will be there because.
And the spoilers will be up in less than an hour.
All right, don't. I don't want to know.
I won't tell you.
Don't tell me. Anyway, so yeah, normally though they do that thing if they start the music at like 10:01. And, you know, so you're just kind of getting over the rock star thing, and then you're immediately deafened. But I left last night, and you were still there. Scotty was still there, apparently, but for a long night of drinking. So, good times. Tim Riley is here working on the following stories for you today.
Kenny Couric forgets to do the news. Not a problem. We already saw it. Kenny Couric pays homage to Ted Baxter, Ron Burgundy, and Edward R. Murrow. Kenny Couric crosses her legs for America during the dinner hour.
That's really... Okay, so you watched it last night. What are your immediate thoughts on Kenny Couric?
I like her. She's a likable human being.
Gee, man. Look, maybe my screen is a little more high definition than I thought. But I mean... And I know that it's... I know that I should not be watching the news to leer at the anchor woman. All I'm saying is, if you had... I thought it was just like $4 million a year she was being paid. I found out this morning she's being paid $14 million every year.
What?
That's what I read. It was in the... I'm pretty sure it was in the New York Post. I only have the page... I only have the first page of this article. I don't have the whole thing. Let me say, no, it doesn't say, but I'm pretty sure that I'm not making that up. It's something like $14 million a year. And look, I know that she has editorial control or she picks the stories or whatever, but really leaning on a desk and looking wrinkled does not earn you $14 million a year where I come from. But all I'm saying is for $14 million a year, you think they could find somebody whose makeup woman does not actively dislike her, which is clearly the case. You know, Davey and I were talking about, we were talking about Rockstar last night about how it's all, on like in a reality program, it's all with the editing. The editing can make or break what you look like. You know what I mean? They can paint anybody any way they want, and it's all about how they edit the footage. So it is on television with the makeup person. If your makeup person actively has a grudge against you, if you don't tip well enough...
It could be Walter Cronkite's original makeup artist. who's had the job ever since.
Yeah. If you... I was here in '05.
With ashes falling off our Marlboro.
Totally. She looks like that Mrs. Olsen woman from the Folgers commercials. If you scream at your Korean manicurist at the wrong moment or something, and man, you're going to go out there looking like Cruella De Vil. And it's Kenny Couric didn't look. It's not that she looked old as such. It's not that she looked.
She's a middle-aged woman.
She is a middle-aged woman, and again, I'm not saying, but you know what? It is possible to look one's age, and to look one's age gracefully. It's like.
Barry Manilow.
No, it's not. Well, first of all, the New York Post, we might as well just talk about this now. The New York Post claims that she has had relentless rounds of Botox. And I don't even really know what that looks like. To me, the only... What is it? The biggest indicator of Botox is what? Is it just that your forehead doesn't move? Is that the thing? I guess by definition, if you've had Botox, I guess you can't tell, right? I mean, look, if somebody has collagen, you can tell because your lips are suddenly big and puffy and they look like sausage cases.
They're just less expressive.
But if you have a bad boob job, you can tell because then it's just like a bunch of softballs that are up there. But if you have Botox, I guess do you just look for the laugh lines not to appear when you speak? Is that the deal?
I guess it is, yes.
All right. So check and check with Katie Couric last night. But here's the thing about it. In fact, I have here my notes. I did this last night. I went home and when I got done with Rockstar, I went home and I watched Katie Couric, which I actually programmed on my TiVo remotely. The advertising on this radio station was effective enough that I went online to TiVo.com. That's not a plug, just what I did. Went online to TiVo.com and I remote programmed my TiVo to record this. And I went home and I kept I had a little spiral pad. And I kept notes to myself and I watched the entire thing, by the way. I watched all the way through. So we'll talk about that here in just a few as well. All right. Well, let's do this, sir. Let us go to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. We'll get a few stories. We'll break. We'll come back with Lisa Goddard and all of that. We'll begin this, as we always do, with your personal savior.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A Cheshire, Oregon woman has been accused of shooting her husband after he shot her pet chicken. 58-year-old Mary Kay Gray has been jailed on felony assault charges. Her husband, Stanley, is recovering from a gunshot wound to the shoulder. The chicken was dead at the scene. Lane County Sheriff Sergeant Clint Riley said the couple had been working around the yard, and
Clint Riley, is that like your alter ego? Is that like on is that like on Three's Company when Jack had his cousin Austin suddenly come to town and they were twins and you could only tell Austin apart because he had a hat? Clint Riley. Somewhere in a parallel universe, there's a guy like you broadcasting out of a clapboard shack while chewing on some straw.
I like the idea of that.
And well, it's not from the Ministry of Truth. Myself. It's from like, it's from the general store of goodness. Or
that would have been true earlier in my career.
Yeah, and that was at K-Hay. That was.
I even have smaller ones in upstate New Hampshire.
That's fantastic. Do you have press photos from K-Hay?
I do.
Really?
With me wearing a bolo. With Conway Twitty here.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll see if I can find them tonight.
That's fantastic. Tim Riley in a bolo tie. Mm-hmm. Now, was it... I have to ask this, though. So you... Okay. Since it was a bolo tie, was it a bolo tie? Did it have turquoise? Please tell me you wore turquoise.
The Ventura Freeway is actually Highway 101, so it's the 101 highway sign... on a metal bracket in the middle of the bolo.
That's fantastic. Because the only two bolo ties you ever really see are turquoise, and then the one that's like the... It's what is that animal that they're always using the skull of in, like, Western imagery? It's not a cow.
An armadillo.
I don't think armadillos have horns. It's that... It's that
dead cow?
But it's not a cow.
Steer.
I think it is a cow.
It's a steer, isn't it?
Is it a steer? Is a steer the same thing as a cow?
The thing that comes from Texas walks all the way to Montana, and most of them live, but some die along the way. You always find their skull, but not the rest of the bones.
No, and here's why: it's because we share the building, obviously, with a country station. We are right next door to KUPL 98.7, and it's like you walk through the sales department, the cubicle farm where they incarcerate the AEs, and there's like every third desk has a skull on top of it. And it just occurred to me now that I have no idea what... It seems unlikely that it's a cow skull, because that doesn't seem very masculine to have the skull of a cow. But it's that thing that you see in every time you go to any roadhouse, any bar that has a Western theme. And it is like it's a Thunder Ranch. There's that Thunder Ranch place on 82nd. It's like a Coyote Ugly type place. And that they have the skull there, too. All right, anyway, so it's a Highway 101 sign.
Yeah.
And then are you wearing sort of the same style of dress that you wear these days with the bolo tie, or did you have the appropriate, like, was the rest of your garb Western as well?
I believe it was a straight Western shirt, but it's kind of cut off before you hit the bottom of the bolo tie.
What year would this have been?
90?
So you're just getting ready to ride that Garth Brooks wave when all the country guys started
about 5 or 6 years.
They all started to wear, like, rugby shirts. That was the country look. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. All right.
Anyway.
We'll answer these bovine questions in a second. We'll
continue. Oh, back to the dead chicken story.
The dead chicken.
Well, the chicken died at the scene, and Sergeant Clint Riley said the couple had been working around the yard and drinking on Labor Day. They got in an argument after Stanley Gray shot his wife's pet chicken with a handgun. Police don't know if the shooting was intentional or an accident. Riley says it depends on who you ask. But sheriff's deputies later determined that Mary Kay Gray shot her husband with a .22 caliber rifle in an apparent act of retaliation.
Fantastic.
Your chicken.
Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, a little bit of info for you.
Yes.
Steers and bulls are male. Steers are fixed.
So a steer is a bull that has been neutered.
Yes.
What's the one that dies and you always find its head in the desert?
and you can refer them all as cows or bovines.
Okay, but the thing that they show in every Twilight Zone episode when a guy is lost in the Mojave and they want to indicate that it's a desert.
Coming into Tombstone.
Absolutely. That would be the quote steer because that's what ranchers out west, which is here, have a tendency to raise because that's the one that wants to go to market.
Fantastic.
And of course, you're always going to see the longhorn ones because that's what looks cool.
All right, yeah, it's like Marshall Dillon is like it, and it's that one long panning, that tracking shot where they go from they start on the skull and then they pan back and then you just show the boot stepping into frame with the spurs on the back of it and then the swinging doors.
There's tumbleweed and then some clapboard house back there that's falling apart.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, thank you, sir. All right, there you go. That's Jesse. All right, fantastic. Let's do one more here and then we'll break. We'll come back with Lisa Goddard.
Well, authorities are trying to figure out how a worker at a sewage plant in Brown County lost his job.
In Brown County?
That's a part of Cincinnati.
Okay.
The work log at the Georgetown plant showed 24-year-old Bob Kramer
work log.
Went to check an area of the VEPAC facility early Monday, but never returned. Crews found his body about 1 o'clock in the morning at the bottom of a 600,000-gallon sewage container.
Okay.
It was the worker's girlfriend who found his hat floating in the bath.
It's not clear how he ended up in the water.
This story is so
an argument over chicken.
This, can I see that for a second? Certainly. This story is many hundred levels of goodness. Okay, first of all, the idea that a guy would drown in a sewage plant while working in Brown County is fantastic. Brown County sounds like, I don't know, maybe some kind of sickness that you would have if you were really hungover. Or maybe some sort of a, I don't know, some sort of an ailment that you would get. Where's Bob that I can't come in? He's living in Brown County this morning. The idea that he's in a 600,000-gallon sewage container, and he was at the bottom of it. He was at the bottom, which raises all kinds of questions, such as, how do you drown in sewage? I mean, really, if there was ever a time when you were going to paddle for your life, mm-hmm. if there was ever a time when you were just going to, every ounce of energy within you, you were going to swim as you have never swum before, it's going to be when you fall into a tank of sewage. B, how long does it take to sink to the bottom, do you suppose, of a 600,000-gallon sewage container? C, how do they get you out of the bottom of that? You know what I mean? Is that a thing where they just have a hook on the end of a pole, and they just poke around for a long time? All right, no one knows. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back, and we'll talk to Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent. She's on the Hill. These are the things I wonder about. And do they just let girlfriends walk right up to the sewage container like that? That's sort of a Gilligan's Island thing. It's like you walk up to the quicksand and there's just a pith helmet floating on top.
Well, maybe it was supposed to be a romantic rendezvous. This is Ohio we're talking about.
Meet me at the sewage container noon and we'll go to Brown County together. All right. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, Jen Lane, Rockstar Recap. Talk about the Katie Couric and so forth. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, live from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent and woman of the world, Lisa Goddard. How are you?
Hello, good. You know, I never know with the music. I wasn't sure.
I'm sorry?
No, sometimes music comes in there, sometimes it doesn't. I'm well, is the answer to your question.
We're just trying to keep you on your toes.
I like it.
That's okay. We're trying to, we're just trying to keep you always on edge a little bit. So, how's life in the, well, you, now you said, was it, when is it, I should know this as a member of the media, that today that everything kind of kicked back into full force, or was it yesterday? When is it that happened?
Well, I guess full force is really tomorrow. Today is the day that both the House and Senate technically are operating, but the House really isn't expected to do anything today, not till tomorrow. So tomorrow's really if the day where there might be some action in both houses.
Are you getting a head cold?
I feel like it. Something's going on with my throat. You're right.
There's kind of a plague going around. See, I don't think you were here for this. I think you were being locked in a room and beaten with a hose or whatever it is they were doing for your training there. But I had the whole, there's like a black death kind of a thing floating around. You don't want to get that.
No, I'll try not to get that.
All right, I'm just saying. I'm reading this thing right now about, we talked about Rumsfeld yesterday, about how the White House, as a side note, did you hear about and or witness some sort of a blow-up between Tony Snow and David Gregory?
No, I don't know about that.
All right, now see, what this is what I read. I read this, and it was at a reputable source. It was like MSNBC.com or something like that. David Gregory was the NBC White House correspondent. Apparently, there was something that happened at one of the press conferences. They were doing a press briefing, and David Gregory stood up, and who looks a lot like, he looks unnervingly like Aaron Sorkin. And so he stood up, and he was talking to Tony Snow, and he said something about how, you know, is George Bush ever going to apologize for the fact that Iraq is a gigantic imploding disaster, or words to that effect. And Tony Snow said, And apparently, and Tony Snow seems to have that sort of vibe to him, as though he's a very intelligent but somewhat condescending sixth grade teacher. And he, Tony Snow apparently pointed his finger at David Gregory and said, like, lay off the Democratic talking points. And I guess Gregory just fired back with, don't you point your finger at me, Tony Snow.
Oh.
And then it was some sort of verbal fisticuffs for about 30 seconds. And I've been trying to find audio of it, and I haven't been able to.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, this could have been, like, at a gaggle situation instead of... Yeah, it might not have been on mic. I don't know.
I'm hoping that somebody... At some point, I would just... And again, I say this, I wish a long and healthy and safe life to all federal officials and workers, but it really would be satisfying just to see one of those meetings erupt into just a full-blown steel cage match.
One of these days, I would not be shocked. But, you know, I feel like we're burying the lead. I've got to put out there that, you know, the president just gave a speech in the last... Just finished up, like, in about 20 minutes. 20 minutes ago, it finished up. And in this speech, he said for the first time that, yes, the U.S. does have or did have secret CIA detention facilities outside of this country. He wouldn't say where, but this is going back to that New York Times, USA Today stories that we saw earlier this summer. The president saying, yes, we did detain, the CIA was detaining top terror suspects. He says there were 14 of them. And he also says now they, those suspects have been transferred to Guantanamo Bay. He says they include Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He's accused of being one of the masterminds behind September 11th. And the president is saying now this is all as Guantanamo is in the spotlight. He's saying if my military tribunal process is approved by Congress, these suspects, including the September 11th masterminds and organizers, will face trial. And that they're now... on United States territory, and especially Guantanamo Bay is U.S. territory.
Well, and is the whole point, I mean, maybe I'm boiling this down to too fine a point, but is the whole point of having a secret detention centers outside America, the fact that you can just beat a guy with a hammer until he tells you what you want to know?
Yeah, you know, he said he couldn't talk about the interrogation techniques, but the CIA does not operate under the same guidelines as the Army and the Navy, and the military is not permitted to do any kind of harsh interrogation techniques, physically painful techniques whatsoever.
Is that
you have to imagine that the CIA operates differently and does perhaps more of that. Who knows what they do, but the president insists they don't torture. Of course, it does beg the question, why do we have these facilities? He says it's because these detainees have to be kept in secret where no one from Al-Qaeda will be able to reach them.
And the phrase harsh interrogation techniques, it does sound like, that itself sounds like a little bit of a White House talking point there. That does a little bit sound like code for just sticking a guy with a spike, you know.
You know, this is tricky because I have no idea. I don't know what they do, what they don't do. You know, again, you do get talking points from both sides. The Democrats saying, essentially behind the scenes, yeah, they're letting our CIA agents just beat the crap out of these guys. And then the Republicans, the White House saying, no, that's not true.
Is that illegal?
We just don't know. Well, you know, it under international law, these sort of detention facilities may be illegal. That's definitely up for debate. Some people say that international law makes it clear that this is not legal. And this is one reason, perhaps, that the White House is not revealing where these facilities are or where they were.
Let me ask you this. Now that we've kind of gone down this road a little bit, so if George Bush is admitting that these secret CIA detention centers where we have these 9/11 suspects or whoever, which does itself beg the question, it's sort of like that. You'll hear this debate sometimes in pop culture circles. Well, the debate about like who was the who created the smiley face. I was watching this whole thing the other day, and I do have a point here. There was this long debate on the Discovery Channel or something the other day. They're talking about fads, and they were trying to figure out who created the smiley face as we now know it. And there's like 18 different guys, each of whom swear to God, their hand on a Bible, that they created the iconic image of the smiley face with the yellow and the black and the whatever.
Right.
Doesn't it sort of seem like? I say, in drawing the strangest parallel you're going to hear today, doesn't it really seem like we're doing that a little bit with this 9/11 thing? Because haven't we captured or killed like 15 different guys, each of whom was supposedly either the number two or, quote, the mastermind behind this all?
Yeah, it gets really confusing. I think Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is really a prominent figure there that seemed to have some kind of September 11th role. But I think all of this got confused because of the Mousawi trials, Zakarias Mousawi, who prosecutors said, yes, he was supposed to be the 20th hijacker. He went back and forth saying, yes, I was, and then saying, oh, suckers, I wasn't. Wait a second, now I'm in jail. You know, so it's complicated, but I think for sure Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, we know, he's been given the title of Al-Qaeda's External Operations Chief. I'm not sure if he had a plaque that said that.
Seriously, does he have, like, a mission statement, too, and, like, an inspiring picture of trees in his office?
Well, I think they got that from the sticky hello that he was wearing when they found him.
Hello, my name is number two.
Right. Good reference to a good show. Exactly.
Yes, all right.
So I think that, you know, there's still... Obviously, the CIA knows a lot more about this than either one of us.
The CIA just terrifies me. They really do. And I know that I shouldn't say that as a good American, but now, God damn it, the CIA just fills me with black fear. They really do. Just even, which is probably what they want. You know what I mean? The CIA, the CIA are probably like Scientologists. They just want you to be... I don't even really know that they do half the things that we think they do. They just kind of want you to be afraid of them. That's, and I have to say, mission accomplished for those guys.
No, it's true. You know, and the president really gave a vigorous defense today, saying point blank that attacks have been averted, and that if it hadn't been for this CIA program of detention, that there would have been attacks on American soil. And of course, we don't know what evidence he has for that, but he said that strongly, and he is point blank saying that we need his detention policy to be in place in order to stay safe. Of course, as you know, a lot of people question that. A lot of people question exactly what rights are afforded these people. He insists, the president insists, these are all Al-Qaeda operatives, that they've thoroughly checked to make sure there's no one that's innocent among them. But the point is, people in Congress say it doesn't matter. The process allows for fair trials here. It's very complicated because it's a military situation, he said. It's a messy...
They're just making stuff up as they go along, really. That's kind of what it is. They're just making up these rules because they know that there is no guidebook for this.
I think that's right. There isn't a guidebook for this, and I think the president has taken upon himself to do that. And many would say that's his role. He's the commander-in-chief. You know, but I think what's interesting is he said this process, this detention process, has been under many legal reviews, but he says it's been reviewed by the Justice Department and by CIA lawyers. So the issue here is checks and balances. It's been internally reviewed by people who all work for the president.
Yeah. How could that possibly go wrong?
I've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't sound like that's a process that could in any way be abused.
No.
Sounds like it's replete with checks and balances. Every time we talk about the CIA, I just picture that creepy guy from V for Vendetta just coming into my house and putting a black bag over my head, and then I'm just locked in a small room filled with rats for the next 50 years.
He was the good guy, the guy with the mask?
No. Creedy, the guy that...
Oh, the other guy. Oh.
The guy that came into Stephen Fry's house and goes, "Not so funny, is it now, funny man?" And, like, when they just beats the guy, and then, you know, and they shakes him out back. So, there you go. All right. Lisa Goddard, go have some ginger for your throat. That would be my advice as a broadcaster. All right, Lisa Goddard, we'll talk to you soon, sister. Thank you. All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent on the Hill. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, Jesus Christ, how can an intern afford to take a cab home to wherever it is that Scotty J. lived? That's a fair point. In fact, let me, hold on. Just with the...
Scotty J., this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
All right, first of all, you got to quit jumping around like that.
Okay.
He's right. So bouncy.
So you came here to work yesterday at like 10 a.m., right?
Yes, I did.
All right, and you drove...
Yes.
That, by the way, begs its own question, which is, do you drive here to work? Where do you live, Scotty J?
I live in the Beaverton area.
In the Beaverton? What, are you trying to be circumspect to avoid your many stalkers? To avoid your many fans?
No, I live in Beaverton.
All right, you live in Beaverton, and that is... and so you drive here every day,
yes.
And then you drive home every day? Don't the Max run out there?
It does. But
You don't have a parking pass, do you?
Yes.
If they gave you a parking pass, I swear to God, I'm going to take you out back and I'm going to kick your teeth in.
Did they give you a parking pass?
I don't have a goddamn parking pass.
I pay to work here.
Look me in the eye.
I do.
Hold on.
In fact, I had to go down there yesterday and renew it.
Okay, hold on. Just okay, look deeply. Look into my eyes.
They're not giving it to me.
Do you have a parking pass?
Yes.
But he bought it.
That's right. I went down yesterday and renewed it.
So you bought your parking pass from who?
Cross Street.
Okay, how much a month do you pay for parking?
$155.
You pay You're a fool. You pay 150. You don't even get paid.
No, listen.
No, I'm not being mean. He's a fool.
If I don't know where you guys park, but if you were...
The max line drops you out. It's like two blocks away.
Okay, well, as far as the max, I would have to... I could drive to the max. It would be...
How far away is the max?
Two, 3 miles from my house.
The max station is like 2, 3 miles from your house.
Right. And I have a bike, but I've never rode it before.
It just sits there.
Yes.
All right. So you actually, not only do you not get paid, you actually pay $155 a month. For where is that parking space for? Where is it? What does that $155 a month get you?
Well, city center parking, and I believe I can, don't quote me on this, but I believe I can use it at the city center parking lots, but I pay for this building here.
That's insane.
It is insane, but, it's convenient.
So how did you get to Dante's last night?
I had Mrs. J drop me off.
She opted not to stay. She opted not to stay and drink with you until 1:30 in the morning?
Yes.
All right. Were you drinking alone last night?
I drink alone.
Okay. And then you took a cab home to Beaverton.
Yeah, that was strange.
How much did that cost you?
With a tip?
Yeah.
43.
Oh, man.
You know what? It's better than...
Does your wife support you?
It's probably better than, they're cracking down these days. It's better than paying, what the hell... price it would be to get a DUI, so I...
No. I'm not suggesting that one should drive while intoxicated. I'm astounded that you... Now, if I can, without being unduly personal, what does your wife do? I mean, does she have a job?
She's in real estate.
She's in... Okay. So you were... And that's what you did, right?
No, I was in...
You were in sales, right?
I was in sales for computer programmers.
All right, then. Okay. All right. All right, Scotty J. $43.
Yeah, it kind of hurt. I didn't like doing that. Oh. I was going to take a bus halfway, but then I just said...
Are you just above taking the max? Is that your whole thing?
No, I'm not above
it. Let me ask you this. How long have you lived in Portland?
My whole life.
Have you ever ridden the max?
Three or four times.
Yeah. All right, okay. So it's not you're not some guy who's just above it because you live in the suburbs.
No, it's just inconvenient to get there, and then I got to wait all day, and then I got to take it all the way
out. And you're Scotty J, you can't be bothered with waiting.
It takes an hour to get out there to Beaverton from here.
As opposed to the blindingly fast commute, I'm sure you get on the 26.
Actually, around, when we get out of here, it's...
That's true, we do get out. Yeah. No, that is a fair point. We do get out a little earlier. All right. So, all right, thank you, Scotty J. We'll be rolling out your Delana sound here in just for a while.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, I'm sure you are. All right, so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Scotty J. I'm sorry, since he's just in here. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
Yeah, this is Dante the cab driver.
Dante, how can I help you today, sir?
Man, Scotty.
Thanks.
$43 from Dante's to Beaverton?
Yeah, all the rest of us make that in like 3 days combined on this program.
You got skunked.
Yeah. Okay.
You got skunked, man. That's a $25 ride if it's anything.
He's not gonna. He's a man that apparently isn't gonna be bothered with such concerns.
No, man.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to. Dude, I'm not trying to offend the cab driving demographic. I'm just saying. At least he pointed out that did include the tip, though.
Yeah. What was it? A $20 tip?
I don't know, brother. I got no idea.
I think. Sweet baby Satan. Where does he live? Does he live like?
Scotty's noting that it was Hold on. Scotty noted what was the tip? It was three. Scotty's noting that it was a $43 cab ride and it was a $3 tip. $3. $3. That's not even 10%.
You're lucky you made it home, Scotty, with a $3 tip.
This is the quickest round.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
The quickest round we go by way of
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Damn.
All right. And all right. No. Okay. Thank you. That's all very unfortunate.
So Davey's gonna rate me like.
Now you were mouthing something to me during the Lisa Goddard segment.
Yeah. Because
can you tell me what it is?
I talked to Davey on the phone.
Davey Nipples.
Yeah. They said he'll write me the second that he knows.
Oh, okay. So you don't know anything now.
I don't know anything now.
Would you tell me if you did?
Oh yeah.
All right.
I'd ruin it for you.
No, see, because now the we'll talk just a couple minutes about this, and then I swear to God, we got to break because I don't want to get behind with the news hour. So we will talk for a couple minutes about. We'll do some initial observations about Rockstar Supernova last night, and then we will break. We'll come back. We'll do the news hour later on. We got Jim Roop. We have Jen Lane who's going to be here. We've got Band-Aid, et cetera, and we'll do. We'll do the full, the full overview of last night with Chris. Oh, we'll talk Katie Couric as well. But last night, I mean, I don't know. It's a little late in the game even to be really talking about this. But I don't think we've ever adequately determined So that show that we watch on Tuesdays, and I know that we're like 8 weeks into this, and the assembled IQ of this audience is like 280. So I don't know how it is it's taken us long to figure it out. But that show that we watch on Tuesdays is taped on Sunday.
On Sundays at noon.
Okay. But so that Brooke Burke final segment where she goes, the initial votes are in, is that taped
People
Tuesday
on the internet
night?
Are even confused about that. I was reading about that. I think...
If somebody,
the consensus is that someone said that it's the studio audience poll.
See, okay, so if somebody knows, or at least has an educated guess, like if you, because we're the first to say, we don't really, I don't know Jack about reality.
Well, you know, after we did that program. Poker show, how we had to refilm that segment and just wear the same clothes that we did, you know, a couple weeks earlier.
Pickups.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe that's what
quality
she's
was job one on that poker show that we did.
Good God.
that really was the Citizen Kane of television gaming programs.
That was the worst ever.
No, it's good to have the work.
Exactly.
Remember who I am.
It paid the bills.
Won't you please watch? I don't have any money. So you know, I'll be able to kind of tell a little bit about this because, again, I'm going down. Win, lose, or draw. Whether Storm goes out tonight, whether she doesn't, whatever. I'm going down to L.A. this weekend to see next Tuesday's show taped.
Oh, yeah. So your whole weekend trip is riding on the next few minutes.
I mean, only in the sense that it would be great to see Storm perform. I mean, it's cool. I mean, look, I'm a sucker for seeing a TV show taped. That's pretty cool. I'm not going to pretend that I'm in the media, so I'm
and
like above it.
And you get to hear the rock star music
your own. You know, it's going to be even worst case scenario. Storm goes out. You know what? It would be cool. You go, you see the show, you get to hear the house band live, you get to see all the retapes, whether when they flub, when they do whatever.
So you already have your tickets.
Oh, yeah. No, we're going. We've got the tickets. We got the plane tickets. We got the taping tickets.
Okay, good.
We're going regardless because, you know, whatever. You know, the chance to fly down. And as cool as it is to take 2 weeks off and go somewhere and hang and relax, there is also something kind of cool about just doing a quick out of town, fast weekend trip to someplace. That's kind of cool. So, you know, go see a palm tree, eat an In-N-Out burger, see a TV show, come back, whatever. So I'll be able to see all of that. But my question is, so Tuesday night is filmed on Sunday. And then that final segment where Brooke Burke comes back on and she says, the initial votes are coming in. As of now, here are the five in order.
Stop.
It's the only thing I could do. I got to milk this impression while I can.
I know, you nail it, too, yeah.
I only got 2 weeks, and then nobody will care about my Brooke Burke impression. So I can use it while I can. And so that the latest that can be filmed is like at 5:30 our time. And that's presuming they filmed it like right before it aired on the East Coast. Because it airs 9 o'clock East Coast, and then they wait, and then they air it here. That's how we get the spoilers. So, I just don't know who is represented by that initial vote they show. And I know that I'm not talking about the minutia of, like, 2 minutes of a reality program, but it really does bug me that I don't understand.
Well, I don't think anybody does. It doesn't make sense.
Well, let's find out. Let's go to the phones. Dan, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick.
All right, what gives?
If you notice, Brooke, they don't tell Brooke's mouth saying who it is. What they do is they cut to the blue screen and it's text, and they list it. And then it's just
do they not? Do they not show her saying it?
Oh,
you hear her, but you don't. They never show her saying it.
They show her saying, and the latest three is, and it cuts to the screen,
and it's voiceover.
Names, and then there's just a voiceover.
Voiceover.
They do it at the last second, the voiceover part.
So the question is then, does that represent? Well, it still couldn't represent the West Coast. By definition, that could only represent
the East Coast. Exactly.
The East Coast.
Just during the broadcast.
It could only represent the East Coast. And the question is, somebody told us that also counts the in-studio. We should have asked, like, the 15 different guys we've had on Gun to the Tapings whether they polled the in-studio audience. Because somebody told us that represents the vote of the studio audience as well.
Yeah, I just noticed from the very first show, I thought the same question, and I realized that there's... She's not actually mouthing the words on video. It's always an audio file, and it's over a blue screen with the name, three names.
All right, excellent. All right, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. Let's get Ethan. Ethan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Dude, he stole my thunder. That's what I was going to say.
So is that kind of the same thing you've heard that it's...
But that's exactly the same thing that I got out of it.
All right.
They don't actually show her saying the name.
All right.
They just show it on the screen next to her.
And so... But even then, Okay, let's assume, for the sake of argument, and I know that I'm dwelling way too much on this, but it does obsess me, stuff like this. So let's assume that we're sitting in New York City. So there's Sarah and I. We're sitting in Manhattan, and we're watching Rockstar Supernova. And it's 9 o'clock New York time. Sarah and I are in our plush Upper West Side loft. We're watching Rockstar Supernova.
Oh, you're making it sound like we live together.
We're living together.
We're cuddling.
We're living together and having conjugal relations briefly.
Stop, that is
this
creepy.
Moonlighting?
Yes, yes. So we're in New York. We're watching the show. It gets to like 9:45. The final performance happened. Brooke Burke says, it's now time. The voting window is open. Text, you know, to vote for Magny, whatever. And so Sarah and I pick up our phones. We begin voting. They go to commercial break. They come back at like 9:50. And then that initial vote that they show on the screen that they do the voiceover for is just the Verizon and online votes that have just happened in like that 5 minutes. So that literally is not only, it's 5 minutes of one time zone then
so
is what that tally is showing.
Absolutely.
So it's nothing. So it's crap. Because, and here's the other thing. Did you notice this last night? That not only then apparently does that, because this is what I said to the people at Dante's last night, because Storm was number 4 out of 5, and I'm like, hey, don't worry, it doesn't count the East Coast, that's, you know, that it doesn't count the West Coast, that's East Coast voting only. Here's the other thing. Did you notice that not only is it apparently 5 minutes of one time zone, did you notice that they ranked the contestants almost person by person, almost to a man, they were ranked according to when they performed? In other words,
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, Toby performed last.
Funny.
Toby ranked the highest. Lucas performed before him. Lucas was second. I think that Storm and Magny switched places. Your status on last night's initial 5 vote was almost solely related to when you performed during the show, because Americans are stupid and they remember what they last saw most.
Well, let's just say that I don't put any credit whatsoever in that initial tally.
All right. Well, okay.
I pretty much don't even pay attention to it.
That's fine. And yet, here we are, droning on and on. All right, thank you, sir.
Hey, no problem.
All right, there you go. We'll do one more, then we'll break. We'll come back with the news. Jim, hello.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
You know, I'm still trying to figure out how Storm only got down on fourth place.
Well, but that's what I'm saying.
Anybody else, but
if it's just 5 minutes of one time zone.
That's just it. That's just it. Is I found out the trick. I set my computer clock to Eastern Standard Time. So at 7 p.m. our time,
nerd.
I'm voting. I was voting through every commercial break.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That's voting Bush style.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, way to make it old school. Vote like you were Karl Rove.
Yeah, but I'm figuring, you know, I can't be the only...
Not that I would advocate sort of rigging.
Oh, of course not.
Anything. All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Let's break, kids. We'll come back with the AM 970 Solid State Radio Noon News Hour with Tim Riley. Later on, we got CNN radio correspondent Jim.
I'm all flustered.
Why?
Because by now it's usually posted and it's not anywhere.
What will you do?
A problem. I don't know.
Everyone should have our problems. We should randomly call people in Iraq and ask them what they think about Rockstar Supernova. We should call Ninette Souza. Have her ask somebody in... You there, sir, with the bomb in your kitchen. What do you think about the Magny?
Aren't you just so mad at Delana?
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, Delana sound on the way. We'll get to that later on in the program. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.